You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I'm Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Karen Chatton from Gardnerville, Nevada, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for April 9th, episode 3404. Good morning, Horse World.
When your start time's on Saturday and your finish time's on Sunday, and it doesn't get much better than best conditioned, and completing the challenge is the challenge, you're an endurance rider. Welcome back, Karen.
Hi, Jen. How are you this morning?
Hey, you know something? You might not have taken note of this, but I did.
Okay.
We did not have to fix anything technical before we got started today.
We didn't. And I have the new laptop and everything. It's working.
Yay. So yeah, you know what that means. We're going to get 15 minutes into this deal and it's all going to go to hell in a basket.
Yep. Wouldn't be the first time.
Wouldn't be the first time. For newbies, Karen gets together with either Glenn or I every month and we chat about all things endurance. But fear not, if you're not an endurance rider, there's lots of crap we talk about on here, like manure, for example, that applies to everybody. Right?
That's right.
That's right. And this is the part of the show where we catch up on Karen's adventures, because endurance riders always have adventures. You can always count on them for good entertainment. What have you been up to since we last spoke?
Well, I've done a couple of different rides. Last month, I did the Rides of March 30 miler in Reno, Nevada. And we finished, looks like I finished 13th with a ride time of 5 hours and 47 minutes. Let's see, there were 33 started and 30 finished on the LD on the 50, 43 started and 38 finished with John Stevens finishing first in 6 hours and 2 minutes. So he was only 14 minutes longer to go 50 miles instead of 30. And his horse also won best condition. So congrats to them. And then this past Saturday, April 6th, I did Jovi's second 50 at the Nevada Derby, which was in Fort Churchill, Nevada, which used to be an old stage stop and also a Pony Express station. So it's a state park and there's a lot of neat history and stuff there. We had a really good ride. I finished there, I think around 20th or so out of 31, and I reached 39,000 career miles on that ride.
And 39. You got as many miles on as a set of car tires.
I know. I've got more miles than my truck has right now. So it was an exciting day. We had a couple different things that were, I always like to report on the things that happened that have never happened before, because you can't make that stuff up. And the first thing was, I was riding along with a friend, and here comes this small little airplane someone's flying. Well, right in front of us, they flew underneath power lines.
Under them.
Under them. Yeah, right in front of us. We're like, oh God, please don't crash.
Anyhow.
Yeah. So that was the first thing. Then the next one, there was some contract work going on out there, way out in the boonies. So the contractor comes driving along in his pickup truck and he passed us. We were on a kind of a dirt Jeep road, and he goes to go through a gate that would get him out onto the highway. But in the meantime, there were all these tumbleweeds piled up in the way. So he gets out of his truck and grabs a shovel and he starts pitching the tumbleweeds in the air to get them out of the way. Well, they take off in the air.
Being tumbleweeds
like,
and all, yeah.
Like kites. And they were flying like 40 or 50 or 60 feet up in the air above our horses' heads and going directly the direction we were going to be going down the trail. And I know, we were like, are you trying to kill us? What's going on?
You went from a pile of tumbleweeds doing, behaving themselves, sitting still, to being chased by tumbleweeds.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that, and the guy never even noticed. He was so oblivious. He had no clue. So yeah, that was a little bit exciting there. So, but yeah, we had a really good ride there. We finished, Jovi got better at each vet check. He finished overall with an overall A with a 44 CRI. So I'm thrilled he's coming along as an endurance horse. Now he's got 250s under his belt.
Remind us what CRI is.
Cardiac Recovery Index. They take your horse's pulse when you first get to the vet check. Then they check out your horse and they have you trot out and trot back. And then I believe it's like 60 seconds from the first time they check the pulse. Then they check it again to see how the horse recovered from doing the trot out and back.
And why is it, explain why you don't just go in and take a pulse. Why is it that you do it and then you trot the horse for 22 steps and then take it again?
Right. And I'm not sure, I'd have to look it up to verify absolutely for certain, but I think it's like 100 feet. Anyways, they have it marked off so that you know the correct distance to trot out and back. But that's because they want to see how your horse recovers. So like if your pulse starts out at 44 and it goes up to 60, you know your horse is probably a little bit more stressed from doing the ride.
Because the point being that the vet checks that the horse is okay now. The horse comes in, his pulse and his gut sounds and all those things. The horse is okay now. But what they really want to know is that the horse is okay to continue, so that they do that twice so that they can say, yes, the horse is in recovery mode. Mm-hmm. He's not stressed to the max. He's going to be okay.
Right. Fit to continue. And what was really cool with Jovi, he came in at the 25-mile point, which was the first vet check, and he was at 60. Then the next vet check at 40 miles, he was at 48. And then at the finish, he was down to 44 after doing the whole 50.
So when you planned out your ride, because yes, there is planning and strategy involved in endurance riding. You don't just go hay bent for election the whole way. Did you anticipate this kind of thing, or did you get to the, between the first and second vet tech checks, did you change your plan once you knew that information?
You know, not really. You know, he's still so new at it. I'm learning him and what's normal for him. I mean, after only 250s, he's still, to me, he's just a baby in the sport. He's still beginning. So I'm learning, you know, but it was really nice to see, and it was good confirmation for me that I've been conditioning him and getting him as prepared as I can to handle going out and doing a 50. And so, yeah, I was just thrilled at how well he did.
Yay!
Yay!
Well, we always love to hear about what you've been up to and where you've been at. What is your next ride with either of your guys?
I'm planning on the Cache Creek ride in May. I'm hoping to be able to do at least one ride a month is my goal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
you have Jovi, Saint, and
Midnight Cowboy.
Cowboy, that's right.
He's the four-year-old.
Is it just Jovi going out, or are either of the other two doing any?
It's just Jovi. The other two are still in the, you know, greeny stages. Like with Cowboy, he's not really even started. I've only sat on his back once for like a minute. So I'm still doing groundwork and ground driving and stuff like that with him. But I have ground driven him with tack and stuff on and free lunged him. And he's coming along really, really good. So
he's your littlest of the lot, right?
No, he's going to end up being the tallest.
Really?
He had a growth spurt and his butt is like really high. I'm like, oh gosh, stop growing, horse. That's what they do though. He's only four. So he's you know, these Arabs, they keep growing till they're seven or sometimes even eight. Mm-hmm. So he'll end up taller. The little gray guy, he's the little one. And
that's,
I have
Saint, right?
Him. That's Saint Croix. Yeah. So
how old is Saint?
He's eight.
So he's the one that got a little, he got started a little bit later. So he's not quite ready to go out there and
right.
win himself medals yet.
Yeah. You know, the thing, and I know we've discussed this a lot over the years, is the thing with endurance, a lot of it is mental. And so you really, there's so many things, like when I just explained a couple of the things that happened to us on this ride that have never happened to me before in 39,000 miles, like the airplane and then the tumbleweeds flying 40 feet in the air in front of us. There's so many things to expose a new horse to.
Yeah.
So that when you get out there and you encounter these really bizarre things that do happen, the horses can handle it.
There we go. And the rider can handle it too,
and
right?
And the rider too, yeah.
There you go. Well, speaking of handling things, this is the point in the show where we give a holler to Kristen over at the Distance Depot and find out what's going on over there. So let's do it.
Good morning, Kristen. It's Karen and Jennifer.
Hi, Karen and Jennifer.
Hello.
How's everything?
Everything's great. What's going on at Distance Depot? Or, sorry, what's going on at the Distance Depot?
Well, springtime is here. We have lots of, I've been thinking about what to talk about, but we have lots of grooming things, shedding and grooming for spring. We'll talk about a couple of things, but we do have a whole category dedicated to all of our grooming products, and we have a ton of them. But a few I wanted to point out, which are pretty nifty. One of them is the hands-on grooming glove, and they come in a pair. We have sizes junior, which are for kids, all the way up to extra large. So pretty much anyone can use these. They have prominent little nubbies on them, soft ones on the fingers and the thumbs, and little harder ones on the palm to scrub saddle blanket areas. And, of course, all the mud and grime. So those are pretty nifty. We also have the Strip Hair Gentle Groomer, which this is a pretty cool product. It's pretty versatile. It brushes, it sheds, curries, scrubs. You can use it when you give a bath with shampoo. And it also scrapes the water off. So it's flexible and soft with a ton of little scrubbies on it. It's great for erasing dried sweat, and also puts a great shine on the coat. It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's really nice. And it fits in your hand really well, too. It's a cool little product. And then, of course, we have shedding blades and curries. One of the curries I wanted to talk about, if I can find the little bugger, is it's made by Epona, and it's soft. And it's called the Epona Glossy Groomer Flexible Curry. And this thing is like your regular curry comb, but those are kind of stiff and they do a great job. But this flexible curry is awesome for faces and down around the legs, you know, to get rid of scurf. And they're just awesome little curries, actually, for what they are. They're so simple, but nice and soft.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have the ones with the blades as well, the Equa Groomer, and those can be used for dogs too. So we have a 5-inch or an 8-inch, and I know a lot of dogs are shedding now too. Dog hair and horse hair everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah.
But don't wear fleece out to the barn right now, right?
Yes, and spring is coming. I know, Karen, didn't you just have a huge snowstorm?
We did, like a week ago, we got 8 inches of snow, and then it turned to mud.
Yeah. Yes, then all the mud comes. So mm-hmm. we have you. We got you here.
Good, good. And you have tiger's tongues too. Those are one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, tiger's tongues. They are awesome. I forgot about those. Those are by Epona also, and they're like a little scrubby block, but they're super flexible, great for faces. Again, you know, getting the dried sweat, and they're great for bathing as well. And you can even clean like buckets with them and stuff. They're multi.
They're a universal
tool.
Universal.
They are, and the horses love them because they're so soft.
Yeah,
they're great for the legs. The horses really like when I use those on their lower legs.
And they're also nice if you have a clipped horse. Horses that are clipped also shed.
So they get itchy and need to be shedded out just like horses who are clipped.
Exactly.
But because there's hardly any hair there, they don't like the super duper aggressive currying things.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're awesome because they get the shedding done without them going, ooh, ah, ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
Yeah. Exactly. My guy was super sensitive and he thought this thing, he would come over and he would run the other way if he saw the brush generally, but he loved this thing. He was just like, I'll take my turn.
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Well, lots of good things.
Yeah. Kristen, so tell us, how would people get in touch with you?
They can visit us at thedistancedepot.com. And if they're interested in any of those products, go into For the Horse and down on the last category in the grooming area.
So much fun catching up with Kristen at the Distance Depot each and every time we do the show. She's one of our sponsors and we couldn't do it without her. So when you need things for your horse, head over to the Distance Depot. And now it's time for our first guest. Who is it, Karen?
This morning, Ann Scott Wicks is joining us. Ann is an endurance rider who rides a Mustang named Hickory Journey. Ann has been riding endurance since 2007 and has over 2,000 miles. In 2023, they completed 680 miles together, winning numerous awards, including the High Mileage Award from the Mustang Heritage Foundation. Thank you for joining us, Anne. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Well, tell us about your horse Journey. How did you come to get him?
Well, first of all, it's a her.
Sorry.
That's okay. Let's see. It was interesting. I found her on a Facebook group for Mustangs and Endurance, and she was for sale, and I was actually looking for my next endurance horse. And that sort of launched an online investigation of trying to find out as much as I could about her from being several states away. And it was really due to the teenager who had taken her for the Youth Mustang Challenge when she was a yearling. She had started a Facebook page for Journey. And so I was able to actually go through and look at all of the things that had been posted and her subsequent owners had posted. And so that was where it began. And it did require a trip to Alabama to visit her in person. And I brought her home with me.
Wow. So how old was she when you got her?
She was 5.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And she was had been already put under saddle, but had not done very much. But she had a really great start with the teenager who worked with her for 3 months, her yearling year. And then all the subsequent owners had also taken good care of her and not done much with her, but, you know, she was just so easy to work with that I was able to sort of pick up where they had left off and go on from there.
And she was a BLM Mustang?
She is. She's a BLM Mustang, but she was born in a holding pen in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. And her yearling year was when she participated in the Youth Mustang Makeover somewhere in Texas. I'm not actually sure exactly where in Texas. And at the end of that 3 month time period with the teenager who started her, actually didn't really start her, but did a lot of groundwork with her. She was then adopted, and that started a series of different owners over the next 4 years until I discovered her and brought her home with me.
And what made you choose a Mustang?
So my oldest daughter lives in Wyoming, where she has worked with Mustangs for a number of years. And she has been telling me, Mom, you need to get a Mustang. And she had fallen in love with the various Mustangs that she had worked with and had just been so impressed with their intelligence and sure-footedness and just a variety of reasons why she thought I would enjoy having a Mustang. So once the opportunity arose where I retired my my then 2 endurance horses, they were older and had both encountered a bout of Lyme and anaplasmosis. So I went ahead and decided to retire them and thought, well, this might be a great time to look for a Mustang. And so really was just, you know, scrolling through on Facebook through the various groups, the Mustang related groups, when I stumbled on a photo of Journey and just sort of, oh, wait, I need to look into this one a little bit more.
I know she's a pretty unique looking horse. Can you describe her?
So she has pinto coloring, so she's mostly white. She has dark chestnut face with a white stripe. Again, some darker chestnut coloring in the lower portion of her tail and a small spot on her back, but it's otherwise all white. And the herd, so I know she's from New Mexico, and there are only two BLM herds in the state of New Mexico, one in the north, the Caracas Mesa herd, and the other one is in the south. And the only one that has any color in the herd, the pinto coloring, is that northern herd. So I was able to narrow that down pretty quickly that is where she, her dam was from. So, yeah.
Now, when you started out the ride season last year, were you planning on trying to win the high mileage BLM Mustang Award?
No, not at all. I am always just so happy to complete a ride, but I love going to rides, and I love getting to as many rides as time and money will allow.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, that was not even in the realm of possibility. And it was only in heading west where you're able to sort of do multi-day rides more easily than you can on the East Coast, and sort of stumbled into doing a 5-day at Spanish Peaks. And, you know, the mileage started accruing, not by plan, really, more by circumstance and taking advantage of the opportunities to continue riding each day. And with the rides we had planned to do on our trip out west, all of a sudden found ourselves with a whole lot of miles. So it was more happenstance than anything that had been carefully set as a goal to try and achieve.
And it looks like you really racked up all the awards. Tell us about the awards you were given.
Well, so because of the mileage that we accrued, which was 680 endurance miles, that she came in as the highest mileage endurance Mustang for the year, which again was a wonderful surprise. And I guess the various points we had accumulated throughout the year gave us, I believe, a fourth place. I'm a little muddy here, but anyway, gave us a placing in the Northeast region in my weight division, which was also super exciting and not something that I had ever thought would ever even be in the realm of possibility. And let's see. Oh, we actually also got a Pioneer Award by having completed, we actually only did the one Pioneer ride, but we ended up, I think, fifth place in that category. So there were all these little, and I think that we had some top 10 finishes, which again is sort of new territory for me. Mm-hmm. And she just is a great horse, and we had a great year and had fun riding together. So
that's great. Well, congratulations. Tell us what your plans for 2024.
So we are currently getting ready for our first ride of the season, which is coming up in about a week and a half. We'll be going down to South Carolina for the ride in the Pines. And originally, we would have been riding that weekend at the Old Dominion No Frills ride, which is here in the mountains of Virginia. But a couple of weeks ago, our area suffered a number of forest fires. And that particular area where the ride takes place, I think the fire might be put out by now, but it continued to burn so much so that the Forestry Service had to say, nope, mm-hmm. no can do on the ride. So shifted our focus to this particular ride. There are actually three rides that are happening that same weekend. Well, there were three. Now they're just two between the Northeast and the Southeast regions. And the state of Virginia is right there on the line between the two. So it's nice to be able to get down into South Carolina, North Carolina, and some of the southern states for rides. So that's what we'll be doing. And we're actually working We do have a definite goal this year, and that is to do the Old Dominion 100. And that is in early June. We'll do the Biltmore ride before that. So we'll have two rides, we hope, under our belts before we tackle the Beast of the East. Mm-hmm. And an added challenge to that is I am planning to ride that ride Cavalry, which...
And explain what that means for those that don't know that are listening.
So I don't know if any other rides in the country offer a cavalry division, but the Old Dominion does for this particular 100-mile ride. And it means that you ride the ride without any outside support. So everything that you and your horse will need for the duration of the ride, you have to carry with you. And it's pretty strict in terms of like nobody can hold your horse, hand you anything or pick up anything that you might have dropped. The horses that are participating in the cavalry division have a separate area at the hold where they can graze and they provide water for the horse and the rider. But beyond that, you're pretty independent. Should something go amiss and you decide to opt out of cavalry, you can do so. You can switch over mm-hmm. to the regular division. Yeah, but the goal is to try and do the whole ride sort of on your own.
Clueless. Oh, wow. You're clueless.
Without any outside support. I'm clueless. Maybe.
So let me ask you a quick question. That whole thing, that fascinates me. When you do the cavalry division, you still do all the same vet checks, though.
Everything is exactly the same.
But you have no crew to help you out. Nobody to hold your horse while you go pee.
Correct.
Ah!
Yep.
I don't think that's for you, Jennifer.
No!
So we shall see how it goes. I attempted it once before on my Morgan mare, and we got halfway, and she was pulled because she was ever so slightly off. And so I experienced at least half of it doing it cavalry, but that maybe wasn't the hardest part. So I don't know. We'll see how it feels if we make it farther along to be doing it solo. So, but I'll be riding with my riding buddy Lynn Gilbert and her wonderful horse Calvin. They get along really well, and that's who I traveled with out west last summer and had so many grand adventures together. So she'll have company, but again, Lynn won't be able to help me other than us just talking and sharing trail miles together, and hopefully the horses will be able to stay together for the duration of the ride. But that's probably the biggest riding goal I have for the year. I would love to do more rides out west. That's always a sort of an unknown as far as, you know, will I be able to get out there and for how long, and how would that coordinate with available rides when I get out there? I have two daughters mm-hmm. who live out west, so there's added motivation to do that. But, would I love to, we came pretty close to getting in the top 10 for high mileage. And so there's a little like, wonder if that would ever be possible. I don't know that that's in the cards for this year. But it's, you know, my goals have always been so simple, truly mm-hmm. to just go to the ride, have a wonderful time on trail with my horse and enjoy the company of my, you know, my fellow endurance enthusiasts at ride camp. And so, you know, that what we experienced last year does, you know, I have said, what, you know, things can take a different shape if you set those goals. But again, there's so many moving parts that I think for me anyway, it's important to just be flexible and try to get to as many rides as I can get to, just because that's what I love to do. And if it ends up leading to awards and whatnot or high mileage or whatever, mm-hmm. then great. But I cannot as much to create those hard, firm goals. The OD 100 is a hard, firm goal though. So, I'm hoping that, everything will go according to plan and that we'll get a completion and finish in time and all that good stuff.
Good. Yeah. So, well, we hope you will, and we wish you well. And
well,
good
thank
luck.
You. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me on this morning. I appreciate it.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more featuring top experts including 5-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, 5-time Olympic show jumper Ann Krasinski, Olympic eventer and silver medalist William Fox Pitt, and more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit EquestrianPlusPLUS.com to subscribe.
As usual, fascinating, interesting guest. And again, endurance riders have the best stories to tell. If you disagree, please email Jennifer at HorseRadioNetwork.com and tell me why your story is better, and maybe we'll have you on the show. But anyhow, normally we do the endurance tip at the beginning of the show, but we ran a little short on time because I was late on arrival. So we're going to do that right now between our guests. And what is our tip this time around?
Well, this morning we're going to talk about the benefits of walking our horses during conditioning and competition as well. And one of the best features I think of my new horse Jovi is that he has a really fast walk. He can walk over 5 miles an hour.
Really?
And I've done so much training with him at a walk because it is really important. It's really great to have purposeful walk breaks when you're riding, especially the long distance rides. It's important because it allows your horse's heart rate to drop and their breathing to stabilize in between doing the faster gaits like trotting and cantering. It also helps your horse's muscle groups to rest and prevents repetitive strain and soreness. And it gives your horse a mental break so they can relax their minds as well as their bodies while they're walking. I like to aim to do, say, 2 to 3 minutes of walking every 15 to 20 minutes of riding. Depends on the terrain and your horse's fitness level. You know, you want to encourage your horse to do a brisk forward walk and not just meander. So also, it's good to time the walking to use the hills so that you're alternating the different muscle groups when you're going uphill or downhill. Give your horse the breaks so that they're not going for too long of a period at a trot, because that is when they start to strain stuff and get tired. So be sure to incorporate a good amount of walking into your training and conditioning and competition.
So when you're looking for a endurance prospect, I'm guessing from this conversation, a ground covering walk, one that they can go pretty fast at, is a significant benefit.
It definitely is. And once you've had a good fast walking horse, it's really hard to ride one that has a really slow walk. Trust me, I know. I love a fast walking horse.
Yeah,
you know, and it's great. You know, also one other thing to add is, and this comes up because of the ride I just did, we used the walking whenever the footing changed, like when it got rock hard or there were rocks or there was super deep sand. So you try to alternate so that you are getting the trotting and cantering in when the footing is good, and then you walk when it's not.
And that's where having been to any given ride and it's trails before, or having somebody you can talk to about that. Oh, when you get to point A, you know, you can look forward to walking for a while because it gets rocky there.
That's right.
That's the planning and strategy part I alluded to earlier.
Yes.
There we go. Great advice. Practice walking and walking with a little bit of purpose. And now we're going to get on with our next guest and we'll get her on the line.
Our next guest this morning is Dr. Jeannie Waldron. Jeannie is an icon in the sport of endurance. She's had a really long career and has participated at all of the levels, including world championships. Good morning, Jeannie. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell us, when did you start in endurance?
I think I started in the late 70s. I got out of veterinary school in 75, and I had done a couple before I got out. And I went into practice, and I started doing more of them. So it was late 70s, early 80s that I got into it more deeply.
And you went to Worlds. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And what inspired you to try to participate at the top level?
Well, there's probably a lot more to it now than there was then. When I started, the endurance world was very small. And the knowledge, the scientific knowledge, was rather limiting. So they just started having these more and more competitions, and we figured out how to take care of the horses and how to take care of the riders as it went along. The first world championship was in, I believe it was in Austria, but the second one was in Italy, and that's the one that I went to. The United States won that. The gold on that one, Sandy Schuler from California. And I was second. And I think Germany was third. I'm not sure if it was third. But in any case, all of us had done a few endurance rides, but we hadn't been at that, level of seriousness until then. And then we had to start thinking about things like shipping horses overseas, and that kind of thing got more complicated. And their care got more important. So that's sort of when it all started to be quite serious. And with that, lots of countries started their teams up then. And the United States certainly took off in grand fashion in international sports at that point.
Right. And you were truly addicted at that point.
Oh, yeah. It didn't take long, I'm afraid.
Well, what things do you think have changed since the 80s till now in regards to horse care and management?
Well, the biggest thing I think is back then it was left up to the individual riders and individual owners of these horses, because we didn't have a book of rules at that point. But now it's evolved, and there's more competitive spirit between the riders and also, of course, between the countries. And so they're getting more and more scientific reminded about how to care and how to transport and how to compete, so that there's more guidelines now for sure in the literature and in the different groups like the AERC, FEI. They all have more rules and more information to go read about how to condition them. I think there's a few factors that we will never change. And the first one is to make sure that the horse that you're picking to do this with is completely sound and anatomically correct. They can't do this sport unless they are. It just wears them out, and you end up putting a lot of time and effort into a horse who can't finish the distances. And so we try to avoid that. But in any case, the riders will gain experience over time, and they'll develop their own programs for competing. And you have to remember that the weather and the terrain and the kind of horse and the weight of the horse and the weight of the rider, all those kind of things go into coming up with a training program that'll work. And they can be very variable.
So if you were starting a new horse today, Jeannie, what would you aim for how many rides the first couple of ride seasons?
The horse has to be absolutely correct and naturally balanced. And if you start there and you start with a mature horse, say one that's at least 5, now you can start them early, but they can't do much. But if you start them at 5, they should be able to start competing in their 5-year-old year on shorter rides. Mm-hmm. So those horses, if I'm just starting them after they're, well backed and quiet and people can ride them, I start do a lot of walking on hard surface, and up and down the roads, up and down the driveways, up and down rocky terrain, but just slow work, with a concussive force so that you can increase the density of the ligaments and tendons and bone. Because if you have them, if they're good and dense, you won't have so many injuries along the way. So anyway, so that's what I start with. I start a lot of long walking. And I might do it for a few months and I just kind of watch and be sure that they just go along. They don't swell up and they don't have any issues that worry me. And then once that starts, then I start them into a program of gradually converting the walking to trotting and trotting to cantering until we're doing a lot of each. Again, I do like hard surfaces. I think they're gonna help in the long run. They have to learn to work in sand because a lot of our international competitions, as well as Florida and Texas and California, and we have a lot of sand rides. So, and that's a little different work. And again, I think you have to slow down, start over for that. You have to slow down, do some walking and trotting and cantering and balance work. And your horses will tell you what speed they're the most comfortable at. And so in soft footing, some of these horses really don't like to go slow. They'd really rather kind of canter through it. And other horses really don't like it. So you have to pay attention to how they feel and how they feel when you're finished. So after you've been doing any kind of training or any kind of work with them at all, we always do a pretty thorough exam at the end and before we get on them again to be sure that there's no lameness or soreness associated with what we did. And that's basically how we start them out. And I think as a five-year-old, they should be, by the time you get into the fall of your five-year-old year, they should be able to do 25s and 30s quite safely. And maybe 50s if they take good care of them. I don't usually compete 50s and 100s until they're 7 or 8 years old. Mm-hmm. I think they get tired and I think they get disillusioned. So we want their mental health as long as we can keep it as well as their physical health. So we have to watch for that.
And so then going into the second season, what would you aim for?
I do. That's when serious training would start. I would do, I have a way of measuring this, which I don't know if anybody else does it, but I have a 5 mile course. It's across hill and dale and around and through the bushes and over some farmland. And I do that at a given pace. Like if the horse is just getting started out, I might trot it at a trot, but I do a 5 mile trot and try and keep the pace consistent. And when I get finished, I see what kind of recovers I get. In other words, if he finishes it with a heart rate of say 85 and he drops down to 70 or 68 within a minute or two, he's great. He's ready to move on. But if he doesn't recover quickly to under 70, it's just when you stop and start resting, you should recover under 70. And if he doesn't do that, then either your training program that you're using out there in the mountains isn't working, or there's something wrong, because what you're using that 5 mile course is a test. And the next time you do it, you're going to want to do it faster, and it's still supposed to improve the recovery rate should still drop down as soon as you're finished working. So, and that information, that same distance at different speeds, will tell you whether your conditioning program that you've put together for your horse is actually making a difference. Otherwise, the only other ways you can do that, you can just kind of watch them. When you go to rides, they'll certainly tell you, because you get all your recovery rates at all the stops. I don't know if you're familiar how that works, but I could explain that if that would help.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. We'd love to hear your explanation.
When the horses go to a competition, the way that it works is they go into the competition and they have a vet check and everything, and they all start at one time. And as they come around and come into the different vet checks, they have so much time to get into the vet check. getting into the vet check involves them, their pulse coming down to less than, I want to say 64 in most cases, but the rides can set that where they want, but at least he's 64. So they come into a stop, they have to wait till they're 64, and then they do what they call enter their hold. Their hold is the time that they're allowed to be in that stop resting. And so you don't want to waste time coming into the hold. In other words, when you get into the stop, into the vet check, you want your horse to be down and ready to go right in. Because any time that's lost standing around waiting for him to get down to 64 is time he's just standing around. You're not going anywhere, you're not doing anything. It's just time wasted, your time's growing. So what you want to do, you want to come in and go immediately into your vet check. So you want to bring your horse in as close to 64 as you can. Some people jog their horses in hand to do that. And other horses just walk in. You have to know your horse. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's what they do so that they get into these stops quickly. And that is also where they're finding out how good their horses are compared to other horses, because you can see there, you know, if you come in with a group of horses and they're the last one to get into the hole, that means they're the slowest to recover.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so that sort of gives them information about, you know, relative to those that they're competing against. And also the numbers, like if they come in at 80 and drop to 64 within a minute and a half and go right into the hold, that's quite valuable. That's time that you've gained and your training's working, your horse recovered quickly. The things that can interrupt that are heat and humidity. And other things like stomach aches and lameness and flies and lots of things that annoy them.
Sure.
But basically that's the other way you can kind of figure out where they are in terms of fitness.
Well, let's shift gears real quick here. And I want to ask you, as a rider that's a senior, do you have any advice for other riders as we are all getting older on what we can do to keep ourselves in shape?
I'm a firm believer that the more riding, the better. I think our coordination stays better if we keep riding. And our reflexes stay better. I don't know what I'm probably not riding at this point because I was hurt last fall and I'm not fixed yet, but if it hadn't been for that, I would probably still be riding. And I'm 78 and I have seen people competing in their 90s. Now, these people aren't riding 100-mile races to win. They're riding races to finish and to stay, you know, and to stay flexible and to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Which is sometimes a different goal than we have when we're young. When we're young, we have to win. But now they have a phrase in AERC that says to finish is to win. And that becomes very, very apparent the older you get. You know, that if you finish, you really did win. And also, the other thing to think about is when we take these horses out there, that's quite an individual competition. That's not really a group competition. We think it is because so-and-so beat 100 horses or beat 50 horses or whatever. But the truth of it is, if you can just get finished the 50 and you can get your horse through and yourself through and everybody's healthy and happy, that's quite an accomplishment. You don't have to be first or second or third. 25th is fine. 30th mm-hmm. is fine. It doesn't really matter. It matters right. What your individual goals are, and especially if you're training your own horse, you know, you have so many things that you're working on, learning training programs and learning your horse and learning how to measure responses to training and what feed to feed and how to shoe them. I mean, there's so many things that are involved that to finish is to win is a very appropriate phrase to describe it.
Exactly. Well, thanks for sharing your thoughts with us this morning, Jeannie. We appreciate you being here with us.
Well, thank you very much. And I hope that people will join the sport. It's a lot of fun.
And, it sure is.
A lot of friends, a lot of fun, and certainly fun with your horses.
Such an interesting perspective. So many things in the sport haven't changed. Ride a lot of slow, hard work. You know, those things haven't changed since the 80s.
Right.
And something else that has changed since the 80s is virtual rides. And this is what, the third year for the virtual Tevis?
I think it's the fourth year.
That has been huge.
Right. I know they just last week passed 500 signups so far. And I haven't signed up yet. I'm still deciding which of the horses to enter. I think I'm going to enter the two youngsters. So that'll get me out there, giving me encouragement and motivation.
That'll be motivation, yep, to get the miles done.
100 miles, even if we're just walking around the neighborhood, it makes them good citizens because they learn to handle all the stuff going on and all the different things. And it's a great thing. The virtual Tevis starts tomorrow, April 10th, and it goes for 100 days. You have 100 days to complete 100 miles, and you can do it with a horse, with a bike, on foot, any way you want. You can ride, run. I think they said you can even swim. So
Way
you want to get your 100 miles in, you can do it. So there you go.
I might have to figure out a way to enter that. Not my horse Nigel has anhidrosis. So riding in the summertime is a little dicey.
Uh-huh.
But I might just enter it just to see how far I can go rather than can I finish it. Just, well, how right. far can I go? Just to motivate, to get on his back and go for a walk for 20 minutes.
Right.
So I might just do that. I'll have to head on over to the website after the farrier gets here, step one, and check that out. But for people who want to follow along with your adventures online, where can they do that?
NVEnduranceRider.com is my
NV
blog.
As in Nevada.
Uh-huh. EnduranceRider.com.
And for anybody who wants to ask Karen a question regarding endurance or any other horse topic, or for that matter, travel topic, because you have a lot of traveling with horses miles under your belt, you mm-hmm. can just drop me an email at jennifer@horseradionetwork.com and maybe we'll answer it on next month's show.
That's right. And to finish yeah. is to win.
There we go. And thanks to our sponsor, The Distance Depot. We couldn't do these shows without our sponsors. And if you have a product or a service that the equestrian community, and particularly maybe the endurance community, needs to know about, you can contact Horse Radio Network today and find out about advertising opportunities on this and other podcasts. So all you do is go to horseradionetwork.com and click on the contact button. And we'll see you again next month, Karen.